Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you, though, Scotty. Do you know that there's other players on our team besides Desi?
Whoever we had on the plane is all we need. Turn that damn jukebox. Turn it up!
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Well, welcome in to the Whole Hog Podcast, guys. This is something kind of crazy. This is the first Whole Hog Podcast that I have hosted off of an Arkansas SEC win.
Saturday was Arkansas's first SEC win since I started covering the team full time.
So what I'm saying is it's been a while.
It's unfamiliar.
And Scotty and I really didn't know. We were Talladega Knights, Ricky Bobby. We didn't know what to do with our hands. But anyway, as we have a loaded show for you today, we're going to talk all things. We got a little buy or sell segment here in later on in the broadcast, and then we got a round table segment coming in right now. But before we get to any of that, guys, I gotta ask. Sam Pittman asked to turn the jukebox up, and that he has one at his house, which he got a little bit of ribbing for from some media outlets and stuff for saying the term jukebox when obviously there is not a jukebox in the locker room. But all right, guys.
Wouldn't that be something if there was?
Really would. What do you think Sam Pittman has on his jukebox?
It's definitely some sort of country music. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a tough time figuring out, you know, like what era. I'm thinking probably maybe Merle Haggard. He seems like that would be the type of thing he likes. But I could also see him being like a 80s, 90s country type guy, like maybe some Randy Travis or I could see him being Garth Brooks, being an Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
So I definitely think something country music. It's just
George Jones.
I could see that, yeah. George Jones.
That should have been my second question on the teleconference after Bob asked him. You know, Sam said he rolls up old 45s on that Rockola.
Wait, did Bob really ask him about
I knew he would. He did. And that asked about Zach Williams for a story I'm writing on him for Friday. And that probably should have been my second question, just to follow up, like, what are those old 45s?
Saturday night when I saw that video on Twitter, I told my wife, I said, Bob Holt is going to ask Sam about having a jukebox in the locker room.
Apparently, he apparently asked Kirby Smart about it, too.
Oh, man.
Because Kirby Smart told him that Sam had an old jukebox, that Rockola 75 model in his basement. But he doesn't have a basement now in his new house. It's just sitting in the garage.
You know, I love Bob. I know people get kind of get taken aback by his questions sometimes, but he typically gets pretty good responses out of the ones he asks. And I saw he had the story on our site about Sam rocking the jukebox. So that's pretty good.
That is pretty good. It's always entertaining when Bob Holt is on a press conference, and he's almost reached legend status when in the entire SEC, most of the time getting the first question at SEC football media days, if they have them, which they didn't this year. All right. Matt Jones, Scotty Bordelon, and I am Seth Campbell. Let's just dive right into it, guys. First question on the roundtable segment. Does Arkansas's win shift your perspective on the rest of the Razorback season will go? We'll start with you, Scotty.
I think it did a little bit. I think what you're seeing is a defense. The defensive coaching staff just – they've got this group playing, I don't want to say over their head, but this is essentially, with a few exceptions, the same cast of guys that Arkansas fielded last year. And I mean, think about it. Arkansas went to Mississippi State and won, and one of the key additions on the defensive line was Julius Coates this year. He wasn't there. And on the defensive line, you've got Isaiah Nichols, Jonathan Marshall, Zach Williams, Mateo Sola. I think they rolled like 7 or 8 guys in there on the defensive line. Your linebackers are the same. Your DBs outside of Hudson Clark, maybe Simeon Blair, like the rest of those guys were, and Jerry Jacobs, the rest of those guys were here last year. And the defensive staff has just got these guys playing with so much confidence. I think the players are believing in themselves because the coaches have put so much belief and trust in them. I think Saturday just made me think that Arkansas can be a lot more competitive than we initially thought that they were going to be throughout the rest of the year. I mean, there's going to be some games where they just don't match up well with other teams. I think you could probably point out those teams pretty quick, but I think Arkansas's got a shot to be competitive in a lot more games than I initially thought.
As for the team, I don't know that it really changed a whole lot for me, because I thought that there were going to be about five games, maybe even six, that they could be competitive in, and Mississippi State was one of them. Now, given what Mississippi State did in week one for Arkansas to slow them down as well as they did, that was a little bit of a surprise. But I thought before the season, there was an ESPN FPI deal that said that they ran a projection and Arkansas went 5-5 in that projection, and people were surprised by it. But I said, hey, look, I think they could be competitive with Mississippi State. I think they could be competitive with Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, and who am I leaving out here? There was one other.
Maybe
one.
Tennessee.
I already said Tennessee.
I think it was Texas A&M. It was A&M because of the way they played them the last few years. And I said, I don't think they're going to win all of those games, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won some of those games. And so I think what I've been surprised by maybe more than anything is the play of the linebackers. I didn't think that was going to be a very good position going into the year. I still think that there's some depth problems there.
Yeah.
But I've been really impressed with the way that Bumper Poole and Grant Morgan have played. They have played above and beyond really what I thought they were going to, you know, be able to they played above and beyond the performance level that I thought they were going to have this year, at least through two games. And so that's been pretty surprising. You know, the offense is kind of what I thought it would be at this point. I figured they would struggle against Georgia. I thought they would play a little bit better against Mississippi State. I don't think I would have guessed that they could only score two touchdowns against Mississippi State. But that's what happened. And, you know, I think that offense is going to continue to struggle for a little while. They got Auburn this week. Auburn's not been great, but they haven't been bad defensively. Kevin Steele usually has a really good group. So maybe they're a little bit ahead of where I thought they would be this year, but I'm not so surprised by them beating Mississippi State. Do you guys remember on our podcast when they announced the schedule? I thought that they would snap their losing streak against Mississippi State.
And yeah, Matt called that one.
Well, and then I pulled back on it based on the way that Mississippi State played in the opener. But I think all things considered, Arkansas and Mississippi State are probably on about even playing level. I still think Mississippi State probably has a better team. I think Mississippi State would win that matchup more often if they played, say, seven times, a best of seven series. I think Mississippi State could win it. But I don't know that I was really just too influenced by what I saw on Saturday versus what I thought we would see this season. I thought this could be a team that won three or four games, maybe five, if everything broke well for them this year. And, certainly they're off to a good start.
You mentioned those games that you thought that Arkansas could win. And maybe for me, I kind of agree with you that there is the Ole Miss there. There is the fact that you can beat Mississippi State, obviously, Missouri in there. But I think, honestly, like the Tennessee game may become one of those that is out of reach, but you can replace that with maybe a game like Auburn with how Auburn has struggled. So something to keep an eye out on, and the Auburn offense has been less than stellar.
I'll tell you about Arkansas. This is the thing that I think we're going to see this year, is that they're going to be competitive in every game. And that's what we haven't seen from this team in a long time. You remember when Houston Nutt was the head coach? They didn't beat everybody. They lost their fair share of games. But it always felt like they were prepared and they were going to play hard and they were going to be in the games. And, you know, we haven't seen that the last few years. And I think that you're going to see that under Pittman. Yeah, there may be some games that get away from him late, like the Georgia game did in the season opener. But I just think that this is a really, really good coaching staff. I've been talking about that for a few weeks right now. The likes of Barry Odom as a coordinator and Pittman as the head coach, I think they're both outstanding coaches. I think Derek LeBlanc is a really good defensive line coach. I think that they've got some other solid coaches on their staff. And I think that their coaching staff took a major step up this year from where they've been the last couple of years. And I think you're seeing that in this team's preparedness for the games. you saw it against Georgia. They were prepared for Georgia. They just ran out of gas in the second half, gave Georgia too many short fields, and they were prepared for Mississippi State the other night. They seemed like they were a step ahead of Mississippi State almost the entire game.
I think it's huge that whenever you hear Sam Pittman talk about the staff, or you know somebody gives him credit for the big win, he always wants to put it on his staff. The Barry Odom, Kendall Briles, and the entire staff did a great job of getting these guys prepared is a pretty common line that Sam Pittman says. And I think that speaks volumes for the staff that he has put together, that he completely and wholeheartedly trusts them to be able to put together a game plan and a game plan that'll work like we've seen the first 2 weeks. All right, guys. Next question here on our roundtable. Moving forward, we talked about the big three receivers all offseason long in Trey Knox, Treylon Burks, and Mike Woods. Has Devion Warren, has he solidified himself in your mind as the fourth best option or even into that top three, Matt?
Man, I don't know. I guess your top three are what? Woods and Knox and Burks. And so, yeah, I mean, he's got to be number four, I guess, behind them, especially based on the way he played down at Starkville. Yeah, I mean, he had a nice game. My thought is whenever somebody has a nice game like that, can they replicate it? Or was it just kind of a one-off deal? We've seen that in the past, you know, where like, and I'm only giving his name because I was looking up some stats the other night and I noticed that he had a big game in 2017, Jordan Jones. And then we didn't see Jordan Jones, you know, have a lot of other big games after that season opener against Eastern Illinois. And so, you know, is this a one-time deal for Devion Warren? He's a senior. We haven't seen him, you know, perform to that level or anywhere near it really as a receiver. We've seen him have some kickoff returns and some nice plays in special teams, but we haven't seen him, you know, perform to that level in any other game. So that makes me wonder, is this a one-time deal for him or is this something he can replicate? And you know, only time will tell that.
I think what we're seeing through 2 weeks is that this coaching staff is utilizing him in a way that the prior staff didn't. And previous coaching staffs just stuck him back kind of on kickoff return and was like, hey man, just go use your quickness and your speed. And he's kind of like a little jitterbug. Just quick. He can make people miss every now and then, but his quickness is his best weapon. But he hadn't used it in the passing game. But the first 2 weeks, you know, he only had one catch against Georgia, but he made a nice move. And then he made like, he ran away from two or three Georgia defenders, and it was cool to see him kind of have that breakout game against Mississippi State with Treylon Burks out. Devion is Treylon's backup according to the depth chart, and he went out there and he in one game he matched his receptions total from last season, and in the same game he more than tripled his receiving yards in his career coming into the season. And then he caught his second touchdown pass. It was great. I think this the biggest thing for me is that you're seeing him utilized in the passing game more. And why not use that speed? I mean, I know he had a drop the other night that I think Arkansas would have set Arkansas up near midfield. That was about the only knock that I had on him in that game. He made three of the bigger catches of the night. Of course he had the 52-yard catch from Franks. He had the touchdown grab, and then the biggest one of the night, I thought, which was his shortest reception, was 3rd and 8, went for 11 yards, stayed in bounds, and, you know, if not for some boneheaded mistakes that followed that, that would have sealed the game for sure. So Davion's played really well. I've been pretty impressed with him.
To quote a former coach who may be on the other sideline, you either have speed or you're chasing it. And with Devion Warren in the game, Arkansas has speed. I think that the Arkansas offense changes dramatically when they can utilize him. It's almost like Treylon Burks. I thought that you saw how important Treylon Burks is to the Arkansas offense in the second half of their game against Mississippi State. I think that even if the ball is not thrown to Treylon, he can create so many mismatches that defenses always have to know where he is at, that it opens up other guys, you know, guys that maybe aren't as quick as Treylon off the ball in Mike Woods and Trey Knox. Like Knox is a bigger body and he's not the breakout speed that Treylon has. And I think that having him, Treylon Burks, on the field opens up those other guys. Well, I think we also saw the role that Warren can fill in with Burks. And then if you can, when Burks is not in, and then if you can imagine if you had them both out there on the field at the same time, with Warren performing to the level that he did against Mississippi State, then Burks performing to the level that we know that he can, I think that's where Arkansas's offense all of a sudden goes, okay, maybe we aren't just a three receiver group. Maybe we do have some guys in here that can make some things happen. You know, Warren has had the potential, but like you said, I just don't think that he was being utilized to the full extent that he could, and that this staff is finding every single way to get him the ball. All right, guys, moving over to the other side of the ball. The Arkansas defense now leads the conference in interceptions and turnovers gained. How important will it be for the Arkansas defense to get turnovers against the Auburn offense, Matt?
Well, first off, I don't know that they're going to be challenged as much in the passing game. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think they're going to have nearly as many opportunities for interceptions at Auburn than they've had in these first two games, because I think Auburn's probably going to run the ball quite a bit more. They're certainly not going to throw it 60 times like Mississippi State did, unless there's some weird deal where, you know, Arkansas gets ahead by 20 points or something. And, you know, even then, I don't know that you'll see Auburn throw the ball that much. It's going to be rainy in Auburn on Saturday. You know, the hurricane is not going to pass over that area, but they are going to get those outer bands that form out of the hurricane, and they're going to get rain from that. It's probably going to be a pretty there's a chance that it could be a pretty, you know, sloppy conditions at Auburn. It's a grass field, and so it's that makes things interesting. And when you have a wet game like that, you always worry about or you always wonder if there's going to be balls on the ground, fumbles. So it's a big deal to win the turnover battle. There's no doubt about it. Look at what Arkansas did the other night. If they don't have the pick six touchdown, it's 14-14 potentially at the end of regulation, or maybe Mississippi State changes its mind and they're kicking field goals instead of going for it on fourth down in the red zone. Or maybe Arkansas changes its mind, and instead of it being a 7-7 game, when they go for it on fourth down from the 2-yard line, maybe they kick a field goal and take it. It changes the whole thing when you get turnovers, and especially when you can turn them into points like that. It's a huge deal that they're winning the turnover battle right now. There's no doubt about it. I don't think they're going to get as many chances for interceptions, though, against Auburn, because Auburn's not going to throw it as much. And what Auburn does in the passing game is so different than what other teams do in the passing game. That Auburn passing game, a lot of times, it's a lot lateral.
Sideline to sideline.
Yeah, it's a lot of lateral passes, a lot of, you know, real quick short passes. They're going to challenge Arkansas a lot differently, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But they're going to challenge Arkansas a lot differently offensively than these last two teams have.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I don't expect Auburn to air the ball out just a lot this weekend. I know they've got two pretty good targets with Seth Williams and Anthony Schwartz. I was looking at SEC StatCat, and I think Bo Nix has dropped back maybe 66 times this season, and Schwartz and Seth Williams have been targeted about 42 of those targets. So Joe Fouché said earlier this week that Bo Nix is going to have to throw the ball elsewhere because they're going to try to lock those two guys up. Pretty sure they had a big day last year when they played Arkansas, but there's no doubt in my mind Barry Odom's game planning to kind of limit those two guys. But I, like Matt said, a lot of their passing game is the quick swings out to the perimeter. Just get your speediest guys in space and make defenders miss. So tackling is going to be a big deal. I think what we've seen from Arkansas maybe the first couple of weeks is that they're pretty heady about, you know, when a ball carrier is just maybe he stood up, but his forward motion or his forward progress hasn't been stopped. Like, they're trying to rip that thing out. And you saw that with Kylan Hill's on the carry last week. I mean, it looked like a fumble to me. It wasn't called a fumble, but I mean, they're pretty active trying to rip that thing out. And then Jalen Catalan had a fumble, forced a fumble in game one. I mean, I think that's an area where Arkansas, if they're going to create turnovers, is probably going to have to be there. If Arkansas can get pressure up front on Bo Nix, I mean, he's shown to he can get a little bit frazzled against pressure. According to College Football Film Room, he was 5-17 for 35 yards on 21 dropbacks against pressure against Georgia. and he was just 6 of 23 on throws past the line of scrimmage. That's really bad. That's really bad.
Not great.
But I'm not saying Arkansas is not going to get the same kind of pressure that Georgia got on Auburn. But if you can get, I mean, I think there's potential for Bo Nix to, you know, make a boneheaded play or two with his arm, you know, if there's pressure running at him fairly consistently.
All right, guys, good stuff there. Moving on, let's go back to the Arkansas offense. Rakeem Boyd, he has had his troubles staying on the field all the way, if you watched Last Chance U from his time at Independence Community College to Arkansas, had a little bit of trouble staying on the field because of injuries. Do you think that after everything that you've seen, Boyd is too injury prone to be a premier back in this conference? I know that he is going to be the premier back for Arkansas whenever he's healthy. He's got the talent to do that. But over the entire conference, people are picking him, you know, be second string, third string, all SEC, and be a guy that could go to the NFL. Is he, in your mind, a premier back, even though he has a hard time staying healthy, Scotty?
Yeah, I think when he's healthy, he's easily one of the top three backs in the league. Like, it's Najee Harris, Kylin Hill, when Kylin Hill's healthy, which we didn't see a healthy Kylin Hill last week, which that helped Arkansas a lot. But when Rakeem Boyd's healthy, man, he's dynamic. Like, he can be a game-changing back. It is interesting, though. He was talking in the preseason about how he's got, like, this improved physique. And then, you know, he didn't get cut loose in game one just, you know, because he's working behind a fairly inexperienced offensive line and a pretty new group there. And Georgia's defensive front was so good, but you kind of expected to see him, you know, I expected him to have a little bit of a better game at Mississippi State before he got injured. It's odd. Like, it's either been his shoulder, which he had surgery on, I believe, after his first year here. And he's also had, I remember he left the Ole Miss game in Little Rock his first year with like a tailbone injury. And I think he's had ankle issues, and it just seems like it's always kind of something with him. He needs to go into edit roster and just like slide his injury rating up, because Arkansas needs him. Because now Traylon Smith, if Rakeem Boyd's not able to go, becomes your number one back. And I feel pretty confident with Traylon Smith, but who steps up after Traylon Smith? Is it a true freshman, Dominic Johnson? Is it Amonte Spivey, who didn't travel to Mississippi State for an undisclosed reason? I think there's some questions, you know, if Rakeem's not able to go, as to who is Traylon Smith's backup. I don't know that you feel super comfortable with anybody there.
I don't think you feel super comfortable because, like you said, there's just nobody there with experience. And that's the big question mark, is you want to have a guy like Rakeem Boyd on the field. If he is healthy, he is going to be a difference maker. He's just like what we were talking about with Treylon Burks earlier. He is a difference maker. The problem is that it seems like too often he is off the field than on the field. I'm not going to say more often than not, because that's just not true. But for a guy that you want to build an offense around, I feel like it gets semi-frustrating when he has to go off because he gets injured. All right, guys, moving forward. Arkansas's offense did look better in week two, but it still had its struggles. What do you want to see improved in week three, Matt?
Well, in week three, I think they've got to get their offense more in rhythm. I think that their timing is still really off. I think having Boyd and Burks out for the majority of the Mississippi State game affected that. I want to see how the interior of the offensive line handles Tyrone Truesdell, the big 326-pound nose guard from Auburn. When they played Georgia 2 weeks, their nose guard, he caused a lot of havoc for Arkansas's offense. And Truesdell, is he as good? I don't know. He's definitely not Derrick Brown, who they had last year. But I think he's still a pretty good player. And so, you know, what do they do with him? You know, how do they contain him? How do they contain Big Cat Bryan off the edge? He's a really good defensive end. So the offensive line, that's something I want to see. you know, I think the quarterback's playing pretty well. You know, I want to see, can Felipe Franks replicate the type of performance he had last week? What was he, like 20 for 28, mm-hmm. threw for, you know, a couple hundred yards? You know, he had a good game, not a great game, but I think that's what you're going to get with him. I don't think he's I don't think he's a 400-yard-a-game passer, and I don't think that's what they're asking him to be. Can they get some more production out of the tight ends? And then defensively, for me, it's all about how do they tackle Auburn. That has been the problem in this series the last few years. Auburn's won the last three – or I'm sorry, they've won the last four meetings between these two teams by a combined 157 points. They won by 53 in 2016. Then they won by 31 in 17. They won by 32. And then they won by 41 last year. I mean, it has been blowout after blowout in this series. Hadn't even been close, you know, for most of the time that Malzahn's been their head coach. Arkansas did have the one win in overtime in 2015. But what they do is they test you sideline to sideline laterally, unlike any other team in college football. And what that does is you start to, you know, it really starts to spread your defense thin, and then they'll run a play action and there'll be a tight end running all alone down the middle of the field for 70 yards. That's what their offense does. And so they're going to test Arkansas in a different way than either Georgia or Mississippi State did. Georgia, we saw them run the ball a lot between the tackles, and you saw guys like Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan get a lot of tackles because of it. Mississippi State didn't run the ball, but they threw it over the middle because of what Arkansas was doing with that kind of balloon coverage and dropping eight guys back, and they were leaving the middle of the field open, and Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan got a lot of tackles out of it. I think this week it's going to be a completely different game. It's going to be how can your cornerbacks tackle? How can your safeties tackle? You know, are your defensive ends getting to the sideline and, you know, containing the edge? And so that's what they're going to – that's what I'm looking for this week is how do they tackle Auburn? Because I just think that Auburn's going to attack them so much differently than either of these first two teams have done. And it's just a completely different style, and it's probably the only time I shouldn't say it's the only time they're going to see this style this year, but it's one of the only times that they'll see this style. Auburn is unlike just about any other college football team. People have taken elements of Malzahn's offense and added it into their offense, but in terms of that they do it play after play after play for four quarters, you don't see too many teams like that.
Yeah, I think Matt pretty much covered it. I think offensively, through the first couple of weeks, you know, just charting Felipe Franks's each of Felipe Franks's throws, it's pretty evident that Arkansas likes, I don't know that they like it, but they've gone to the short passing game a lot, like lots of passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. Like each of the last 2 weeks, against Georgia, Felipe Franks was 10 out of 12 there. Last week, he was 7 out of 12 there. All five, I charted Felipe with five inaccurate passes against Mississippi State, and all of them came at or behind the line of scrimmage. So if he gets a little bit more precise on those short throws, I think he can have a really nice day again, because you look at the rest of his throws at various depths of the field. He was 7 of 7 from 1 to 5 yards, and then he was 2 of 3 at 6 to 10 yards, 11 to 15, and 16 plus. And you know, he was 2 out of 3 those last three depths that I mentioned. One of them was a drop by Davion Warren, and the other two were throwaways. So he's really been pretty efficient, or at last week he was really efficient at a number of the depths on the field. But I think he's just – some of those short throws that he's missing on, it's because he's in the face of a little bit of pressure. So I think he's got to just settle down a little bit there. Some of the passes to Traylon Smith, most of the inaccurate balls to at that depth behind the line of scrimmage were to Traylon Smith. I think he's just got to kind of settle and maybe just not put so much on some of those passes to kind of a smaller running back.
The other thing I want to see from Arkansas is how well did they come out and play? They started well against Georgia. They started well against Mississippi State. I think one of the problems with Mississippi State last week is that they were overconfident from the LSU game. They had gotten their big win the week before. I thought this might happen, that they overlook Arkansas a little bit because of the losing streak and being at home and whatnot. And I just don't think they prepared for Arkansas the way that they prepared for LSU. And so I don't think you're going to see that with Arkansas. Like I said, I think that they've got a coaching staff that's not going to let them get too big-headed after last week. But I want to see, you know, are they able to start well against Auburn coming off of a big win? That's what Auburn has done to them in the last few years in a lot of these games. They just hit them with a sledgehammer right out of the gates, and Arkansas never recovered. It was 21-0 that 56-3 game a few years. I think last year, I'm talking about 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. I think last year it was 17-0 at the end of the first quarter. I know it was 17-0 at halftime. They've just gotten too far behind too quickly against Auburn. And when you do that, it's hard to come back on them. Now, this isn't this isn't the same Auburn team. They got some issues on the offensive line. They've got some injuries this week. You know, some key players like KJ Britt and Seth Williams and Sean Shivers. There are some Eli Stove. There are some good players who may not be playing for them this weekend. That's something definitely to watch. But how does Arkansas start? I'm really interested to see that. If they can come out and, even if they're trailing by a touchdown at halftime or maybe 10 points at halftime, I think that's a good start for them based on where they have been in this series and based on the game they played last week.
All right, guys. Lastly, as we wrap it up here on the roundtable portion of the Whole Hog Podcast, you can't escape it. We're going to talk about the guy on the other sideline and a former Arkansas coach, Chad Morris. I know that there is a motivation level there for certain players, and really the players haven't talked about it because they're not going to give the media any billboard material or anything like that. What do you think having Chad Morris on the other sideline does for this Razorback team, Matt?
I think it's a bigger game for Chad Morris than it is for Arkansas's players, to be honest with you. I think it's a speculation on my part, but I just get the sense that it's probably a bigger game for him. And that's kind of based some on the some of the quotes I've read from the Auburn players who said, they can tell that it's personal for him. I think it's I don't know that I really have my doubts how big of a deal it is for Arkansas's players to be playing against him. It's not like he left them voluntarily, and the sense I got was that a lot of the team didn't like him when he was here as the head coach. And so, I think there's probably some of that. There's some motivation in trying to show out in front of him. It's like, trying to strut in front of an ex-girlfriend or something, you want to look good. But it's I don't know how much of a key that is to going into this game.
How much strutting did you do in front of your ex-girlfriend?
Well, I never did any because I only had one. But, I think it's a bigger game for Chad Morris than I think it is for Arkansas. I think this is the third time I've mentioned this in this podcast. I think the coaching of guys like Pittman and Odom, they're going to get these guys focused on this game and what's going on between the lines more so than that Chad Morris storyline. I don't know that it's that big of a deal.
Matt wants his players to be strutting like a peacock, showing their true colors. What do you think, Scotty?
As just underwhelming as Auburn's offense has been through the first couple of weeks, I think, like, we talked to Joe Fouché and Greg Brooks this week, and those two dudes are no doubt ready to play him. And Greg Brooks said that, it's just like when the game starts, he's just another coordinator. But those guys want to shut Chad's offense down. Like, there is absolutely no doubt about it.
There's some thought that he's not calling the plays this week, that it's Malzahn calling the plays, not Morris, because of how much they've struggled.
Gus may have taken Chad's Waffle House menu and just filled it with, run plays.
Yeah. I mean, there's always been that power struggle between Malzahn and his offensive coordinator. It was that way when Rhett Lashley was his coordinator. It's been that way with Lindsey, who was their coordinator a year or two ago. It's just always been that way. And, of course, then there was that year where they struggled and Gus said, I'm taking the offense back. And then they played pretty well last year when he was the play caller. And now he's giving it up to Morris because, you can't get that, quote, elite play caller like Chad Morris, which I don't know if I believe that based on what I've seen of him. But you can't have that elite play caller on your staff without, him calling the plays. But now I think with the way they've struggled in the first two games, there's some thought that Malzahn's going to take over the play calling again, at least for this Arkansas game. And that offense doesn't look good. It has not looked good. And you have to acknowledge that Kentucky always plays pretty good defense. Mark Stoops' teams plays really good defense. And that Georgia is an elite defensive team. We saw that firsthand here a couple of weeks ago. But all of that said, Auburn doesn't look good offensively. They don't look like the same Auburn team. They got four new starters on the offensive line. The offensive line's not playing very well. They are not passing the ball just incredibly well. And I think they've run for something like 29 and 91 yards in their two games this year. That's not Auburn football. And even against good teams, that's not Auburn football. And so it's interesting to see what that offense will look like this week if there's some changes to it based on what we've seen in the last couple of games.
I think it's safe to say that this is a litmus test for both of these teams, a litmus test for the Arkansas defense in the fact of, all right, you've played two really good games on defense, I guess a half against Georgia and then a good game against Mississippi State. But
it's like 6.5 quarters of really good defensive football.
But after, okay, so now the kind of the cat is out.
But did you not think they played well defensively in the fourth quarter against Georgia?
I mean, they got tired.
Well, they got tired, but they were also getting, Georgia was getting the ball at the 24-yard line. I mean, what are you going to do there against that? You know, they, I don't know. I haven't seen anything from the defense this year that says they haven't played well, you know, in any of their possessions. Yeah, there have been some breakdowns, but you know, I think they played pretty well, two solid games defensively.
Yeah, they've played above average, to say the least.
Oh, I think they played played really well.
But so if you look at what is happening, so you've played these two games now, everybody is kind of looking out for you, and then you've got a ton of storylines and a ton of motivation going into this Auburn game. I think it's a litmus test for Auburn because they figure out, all right, can we get this offense going? Is this really what it's going to be? Because like Matt said, Kentucky normally has a pretty good defense and Georgia's is one of the best. How can they look against an Arkansas team that hasn't been traditionally known for playing good defense, but has had the past few years? I see Matt is over there giving me a face.
No, here's what my face is, I think you got to throw the last few years out the window because I don't think they matter. I really don't think they matter to this team. I don't think they matter to Pippen. And I think that a lot of what we thought at the time was a lack of talent on this team was a lack of coaching. And that what you've seen this year is that coaches have come in and taken the same players who did not look good for the last 2 years and have made them look like a real football team in a really short amount of time without a spring practice, with a preseason that was unlike anything we've ever seen before. I just don't know how much I think Arkansas, can I say this? I think Arkansas has played better than Auburn this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go down there and win on Saturday, because I think they're playing better defensively than Auburn's offense is playing. And I think Arkansas's offense has got a chance to make enough plays against Auburn's defense if they have some of these players back. But I hear Pittman talk about this too. I think he gets real upset when he hears about the past and the losing streak and all this stuff. He's like, we don't have anything
about it a lot. He gets really annoyed by it.
He does, but I agree with him. It's like, we didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that losing streak plays some, I think there's some motivation for the players that are on this team not to have that feeling again. But I think you got to look at Arkansas with a completely different pair of glasses than you've looked at them the last couple of years. Like when I saw that Auburn came out as a 17, 18 point favorite, I was floored the other day, because if you look at, if you just objectively step back and look at how they played, let's just take the Georgia game. And there's some risk in, you know, comparing scores. In fact, if you compare scores, Auburn played Georgia closer, but if you look at the game itself, it was Arkansas probably played Georgia better than Auburn did. Auburn, 3.4 yards per play against Georgia's defense. Arkansas, 4.2 yards per play. Arkansas held Georgia's offense to 4.3 yards per play. Auburn held them to 6 yards per play. You take those stats, and Arkansas outplayed Auburn against Georgia. I think Arkansas has outplayed Auburn. I'm not surprised that Auburn's a favorite, but I just think that a lot of what people are looking at the Razorbacks this year is based on what they've seen the past couple of years, and maybe they haven't watched them as closely as we have in these first couple of games. I think this is a completely different team. Sorry, Seth.
You're okay. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up here on the roundtable portion of our podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Whole Hog Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Welcome back into the Whole Hog Podcast. Seth Campbell, Matt Jones, and Scotty Borderline. And gentlemen, it is time to go shopping. We're going to do a little buy or sell action with the Arkansas Razorbacks, two games into their SEC schedule. And then coming off of their big win, 21-14 over Mississippi State, there are a lot of fans that are hoping, or not hoping, but hopping on the Razorbacks bandwagon. Buy or sell, Arkansas will finish last in the SEC West this year. Matt.
That's hard. I mean, they've still got that tough schedule where they got to play Georgia and Florida from outside the division. And so, you know, their final SEC schedules are not exactly even. When you think about, you know, some teams are not playing Georgia and Florida from the SEC East, not to mention Arkansas has to play Tennessee too. I tend to think they're not going to finish last in the West. But I could see an instance where, you know, they win three or four games against Western Division teams, and maybe they still finish last in the West because they've got to play those teams from outside the division. So I'll say sell, but I think that's a loaded question because I think you have to take into account who the teams are playing, where they're playing them, things of that nature.
Yeah, I think I'll probably sell it too. I think Arkansas gave the rest of the teams on Mississippi State schedule kind of the blueprint on how you can maybe limit that offense a little bit. Now, whether those teams are able to execute that plan as well as Arkansas did, that's a completely different thing. But I think Mississippi State's got a long road ahead of it.
I'm buying it simply because of what Matt said. There are too many teams that are around Arkansas skill level, like Mississippi State, like Ole Miss, that have easier routes. And Arkansas can be a better team than Ole Miss and Mississippi State this year and beat Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Those teams get to play. I mean, Ole Miss's permanent opponent is Vanderbilt, is it not? Every single year from the SEC East. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I think that's right.
And then Mississippi State gets to play Kentucky, which hadn't been an easy game here recently. But you get to look at, I mean, Arkansas gets to play Missouri this year, so, and every year. But I think that there's just so many factors that go into it. So I am going to buy the fact that Arkansas will finish last in the SEC West. All right, moving on. Matt talked about it a little bit in the roundtable portion. Auburn opened up as heavy favorites over Arkansas. The point spread is now down to 14 points or so.
It opened to 18, right?
Yes, which is kind of absurd after what you've kind of seen. But I think people, like Matt was saying earlier, have kind of seen the old Arkansas. I'll start with you, Scotty. Buy or sell, Arkansas covers the spread of 14 points is what we're going.
Yeah, I'll buy it. I think there's a pretty good chance. I got asked on radio on Monday morning. It was like, where's the 18 points coming from? And I'm like, I'm not real sure because I'm not confident Auburn's offense is, like right now, can score 18 points. The only thing that I could think of is just like Arkansas is playing on the road for the second week in a row. And maybe they're factoring in some injuries and like potential letdown, but I think Arkansas can cover two touchdowns.
I think they definitely can cover it. It goes back to what I've seen earlier, but I think that last couple of years
is going to play a big role.
Yeah, well, I just think the last couple of years are playing a big role in what we're seeing from the spreads right now, and they're not really paying attention so much to, you know, what we've seen in the first two games. I think Arkansas can cover it. I will say though that these games have a tendency to get away sometimes. And because of the personal nature that I think the Arkansas game is for Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris, if they get a chance to run up the score, they're going to do it. And so what might be, you know, a 14-point game, if you throw a 70-yard pass with 2 minutes remaining, you know, it can change things from a point spread perspective. So I would just caution that.
Buy or sell, Matt?
I think I said I was going to buy.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, hey, just one thing. I looked this up. Ole Miss, their SEC East schedule, they opened with Florida, but their other three Eastern Division teams, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. It's not a level schedule when you're comparing, say, Arkansas against Ole Miss. Arkansas could beat Ole Miss, and they could do comparably against the rest of the SEC West, but maybe Arkansas goes 1-3 against the East, and Ole Miss goes 3-1.
Right.
That changes things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Matt. It is not necessarily fair, and the SEC made sure of that when they gave Arkansas their extra two opponents.
It's just not an apples-to-apples comparison.
All right, next one. Quick little nugget just to preface this one, guys. Would you believe that if I told you Arkansas rushed for more yards against Georgia than Mississippi State? Would you believe that?
I would, because they didn't have Boyd.
It's a valid point. Matt, Scotty?
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
It's okay.
I was trying to find your email again. I clicked away and lost my track.
Don't worry about it. Well, in case you weren't listening at home, that is in fact what happened. Arkansas ran for more yards against Georgia than Mississippi State, although it felt like the offensive line and the running backs played better against Mississippi State than Georgia. But they did, as Matt said, they didn't have Rakeem Boyd. Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, I'll say that too. They didn't have Rakeem Boyd.
Good stuff, Scotty. All right, so it's going to be a sloppy one in Starkville. Now to get to the question.
In Auburn. Starkville is last
I said
week.
Starkville. That is correct. Yeah. It is going to be a sloppy one in Auburn, Alabama. Arkansas is yet to rush for 100 yards in a game. Buy or sell Hogs run for 100 as a team against Auburn. Now factoring in sacks go against that and everything. Scotty is shaking his head. Go ahead, Scotty.
No, I'm selling it. I don't think Rakeem Boyd's going to be able to play. And I don't think Traylon Smith, the combination of Traylon Smith and whoever his backup is, and Felipe Franks will get to 100. I don't see that happening.
And even if Boyd was able to play, I'm not sure he'd be 100%. And so, you know, you wonder how good the run game would be there. I think it would take one of those fluke plays where you bust like a 75-yarder to get him over 100 yards. I don't think in just the normal progression of a football game they're going to run for 100 yards on this Auburn defense. So I'll sell that too. I think that if they're going to move the ball this week, they're going to need to do it through the air.
Heck, I'll be different. I'll buy it simply because it is going to be a sloppy game. There's
explain
a possibility. Explain
yourself.
I always have to explain myself. There's a possibility of it being a sloppy game and run is going to be a factor. And yeah, I know that Auburn is probably going to key on the run if nobody else can throw the ball. But Arkansas has focused all week long on being able to run the ball. I don't think that that Auburn's defensive front is as dominant as it has been in the past. And I think that Arkansas will be able to get some push. Not a lot, but some push. And then maybe you can bust a big play. I wanted to be different, so I'm buying it.
I think if you get to 100 yards, it's going to be because you're going to have – you know, for once, one of those end arounds to TJ Hammonds or Davion Warren or somebody like that work.
He'll probably fumble it too.
fumble it forward. Fumble it, yeah.
You know, it's going to be, I think it's going to have to be one of those plays, you know, that kind of takes the defense off balance for a minute and, you know, you get 35, 40 yards out of it. Or, you know, maybe you remember the Kentucky game last year, Rakeem Boyd broke a 70-something yard touchdown on the second play of the game and didn't run that well the rest of the game against Kentucky, but he had that big run and it helped, you know, pad the stats. So I think that's the only way they get to 100 yards is to have some sort of play like that where they can get a big chunk play, because I just don't see Auburn giving up big chunk plays on the yard very much.
I do think Felipe Franks using his feet a little bit, like in that read option and that kind of that midline read.
I'll take it anyway.
He picked up 3 first downs with his feet last week. That's big time. Like just being able to just having a quarterback who, you know, he's not actually making up his mind on what he's going to do pre-snap. Like he's reading the end or the nose tackle and finding the open running lane.
You like mean a quarterback that's actually getting coached to do that thing,
or the one that's, you know, cognizant enough to carry his practice to the field. Like I think Felipe can with his feet. I don't know that he's going to make like the big play, but he can make some plays with his feet that keep drives alive and sustain drives that might end up in a score.
I don't think he's looking to make plays with his feet. He's given himself up. I almost wonder if that ankle injury.
Yeah, I mean, he's picking up like, you know, 5 or 6 yards at a time. He's getting to the first down line or getting down to the first down marker and getting down.
He's giving himself up really easily, though. That's what I was going to say is, you know, he's not.
Which in a way, that's smart. He's saving himself.
Yeah, it's a smart play by a quarterback. But I just think whenever you've kind of shown that, it's an indication that you're not looking to, you know, pick up chunk yardage with your feet. It's just a matter of, hey, if I got 5 yards to get to the first down marker, I'm getting 5.5.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's going to pick up like 20 yards at a time or 10 or 15 yards at a time, but just like those 6, 7, 8 yard runs that can keep drives going just by keeping the ball, making good reads. I think those can be big.
This next one isn't a buy or sell, but I felt like we couldn't get out of this another topic here on the Whole Hub podcast without mentioning former head coach Chad Morris. So this is more of an over-under. I think this one was set kind of high, but I for some reason couldn't come down. Over-under that Chad Morris is shown 10 times on the broadcast for this game.
Way over.
Easy over.
Easy over.
Way over.
Yeah, the broadcast crew's not going to know what else to talk about.
That's about. So like 10 separate times they're going to cut back to Chad Morris during this game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for okay. sure.
So should I have made it higher? What if I say
30?
30. There is a game going on. It's just not the Chad Moore show.
Oh, I think it'll be the Chad Moore show.
Between every Auburn play.
Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of Chad Morris with his big play sheet in front
it's
of
Waffle
him.
Waffle House menu.
And Gus Malzahn hitching
gonna
up
be,
his trousers.
There's gonna be a lot of Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris standing on the sideline with their mask on, with their hands over their mouth, talking to one another. There's gonna be a lot of that.
Their mask on already. Yeah. So it wouldn't matter anyway to have your mouth. Yep.
You've seen the pictures.
Yeah. Oh,
when they were the head coaches, when Morris was the head coach at Arkansas and Malzahn was the head coach at Auburn, I cannot find a picture of the two of them together.
Yeah, there's not one.
Talking before the game, and this is in 18 and 19, where their hands are not covering their mouths. And it's the weirdest thing because, you know, I noticed it in 2018. I thought, okay, you know, well, maybe that's just – but then the next year, you see the exact same thing before the game last year. So.
Scheming.
Yeah,
they're doing something. They were scheming to see how much Malzahn could blow out the Arkansas Razorbacks, apparently. Okay, I'm going to try and keep track. And if I don't keep track during the game, I'll have to go back and watch the game again and keep track. We're going to revisit this next week. I want to know how many times Chad Morris has been shown on the broadcast.
Yeah, maybe you can chart that while you're diagramming the formations Arkansas's offense runs.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Last week, I decided to go with what kind of formations Arkansas runs, and then on defensive side, I decided to chart how many people they sent to really see. Yeah, Arkansas only sent more than three people, 2 to 3 times.
Wow.
I missed some of the game because my broadcast on SEC Alternate, which
yeah,
by
and
the way,
the replays that I've seen like on my YouTube TV is missing series, like multiple series, and then the replay that Matt gave me his Hulu login, and I went and, you know, trying to chart Arkansas's passes. And I mean, there's just like 4 or 5 minute segments of the game that are missing.
Go SEC Alternate.
Hey, the best news of this week is that the Ole Miss game is going to be on ESPN2 and not SEC Network Alternate, because there was a chance that it was going to be on the Alternate channel. And that was ridiculous the other night.
You can thank Arkansas beating Mississippi State, and you can thank the Kentucky kicker for missing his overtime extra point.
You know, here's the deal. It's like, why was that game not on a network in the first place? They had Auburn and Georgia Skycam on ESPNU. Is that not a feature that your app
that
is made
like,
for?
That seems like your premium content. They should put on like ESPN Plus.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable the other night. And so if you're going to do that, make sure your broadcast works. And that was a horrible broadcast the other night. It was infuriating to watch that. And, you know, let me just say this. SEC on CBS is going away in 3 years, and then ESPN is going to have a monopoly on all the SEC broadcasts. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to have a network that has a monopoly for a lot of reasons, but one of them being this, is that they get to put you wherever they want to put you, and then their broadcast may not work correctly. You know, that was really bad the other night. And I think that, you know, if I'm an Arkansas or a Mississippi State person, my guess is it probably happened in the A&M Vanderbilt game in week one. If I'm an administrator from those places, I am howling at the SEC network and at the SEC to get that fixed. Because in this day and age, you can't have a broadcast like that where you miss 15 minutes of game time. That was awful.
High school football broadcasts.
High school football broadcasts are better than that.
Yes. All right. Coming off of the soapbox and coming into the last buy or sell here. The last buy or sell here on the Whole Hog Podcast. All right. Factor in some things here, guys, when you're thinking about this Auburn-Arkansas game. There is the possibility, maybe, that it is going to be raining. As Matt said earlier on the podcast, the hurricane is not going to go directly over Auburn, Alabama, or the Tropical Depression, or whatever it'll be at the point where it gets into that far inland. But there is a possibility that outer bands could bring some rain, some of it heavy, to the Arkansas-Auburn game. Factor that in with the fact that Auburn scored 29 points against Kentucky and then just 6 against Georgia. Buy or sell, the Arkansas defense holds Auburn to 21 points or under. Scotty.
I'll buy that. For my Hogs Illustrated prediction, I had Auburn winning 21-13, so I'll buy that.
Matt.
I know what, if Arkansas, I know what your prediction
let,
was,
let me,
too.
Let me say this. If Arkansas wins, I think they have to hold Auburn to under 21 points.
Yeah.
If Auburn gets 21 or more, I think it's going to be really hard for Arkansas to win the game. So, you know, I don't see this Arkansas offense scoring just a whole lot unless they can create a lot of turnovers and get some easy points off of it. So I picked Arkansas to win 21-20, and so I will buy it because that's what I picked in my prediction. I don't know how much I don't know how much money I would put on that one.
I'm going to sell. I think I have Auburn winning 31-21, which might be a mistake if it's really is going to be bad, nasty weather because Chad Morris's offense can't run normally. What happens in the rain? Anyway, I think that Auburn will get some things going and Arkansas will show a few weaknesses on the defensive side. But if Arkansas, I think that Matt is right. If Arkansas wants to win the game, they probably need to hold Auburn to 21 points or under. All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for us here on the Whole Hog Podcast. Goodbye or sell segment. Don't worry, we will be back next week and revisiting Arkansas's win or loss over Auburn and then their next upcoming game against Ole Miss. We'll also revisit how many times Chad Morris has shown on the broadcast because that is a heated debate here in Whole Hog Podcast country.
I didn't think it was a debate, was it?
Seth is going to post updates periodically in the live blog. So
yes.
I just want you to tweet every time they show Morris 1, 2, 27.
Oh, a Morris counter.
39.
We'll do a Morris counter on Twitter.
Pray that game doesn't go to overtime.
Oh god. Follow me at SethCampbell5. I'll do a Morris counter. I have no shame. All right. And no shame also with a social media plug there. All right. Well, for Matt Jones and Scotty Borderline, I am Seth Campbell saying so long. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you back here next week.